and episode 141 of Fired Up Sports. Check us out at firedupsports.com. I'm Mike Gillette. Join me as always, Dom Console. Dom, what's going on, man?
What's going on?
Not much. Dreadful week of football, at least for my heart. I'll be honest with that. We get to talk about it. But how's your week been? How's your weekend of football watching?
Well, non-existent. No. Here and there, I was able to watch. Just a busy Sunday around my house, so yep. You know, I watched most of both games, but missed, you know, here and there. How about you?
Yeah, no, I watched both of them. I watched every snap, and yeah, it's one of the biggest choke jobs I think I've ever seen from Detroit.
Okay,
it was bad.
I thought you were gonna go Lamar.
Well, I expect that I expect it from Lamar.
I was going to say, I guess Lamar's not really a choke job. Right, we kind of do expect that from Lamar, but yeah.
Yeah, like if you cut Lamar's running ability, if you force him to throw the ball, he's not going to beat you. It's that simple. He's just not.
Yeah. I guess you're right.
So I kind of expect it from Lamar, but like when you're up 20, what was it, 24-7 at the half, I think, Detroit?
They're up 17, yeah.
So 24-7 at the half. I mean, it's a brutal loss.
I give a lot of credit to Kyle Shanahan. I think I was telling somebody today, it's not that I think he's a bad coach. I think he's a good coach, but I think
he's a tool. But
well, yeah, but I kind of compared him to like the early stages of Andy Reid, like when Andy was here. Just has all the ability, has, you know, the ability to coach that quarterback. But just like it's like the game management, or like the not, like, doesn't have the in-game adjustments. Like we've seen that in all of his big games. But I give him a lot of credit for this specific week, coming out. I imagine ripping his players a new one at halftime,
sure,
and them coming out and totally, you know, changing the game. So I do give him some credit.
Yeah, but you know, on the Lions end, you lose by three, you'll have 6 points. You know, off the field, right, or off the board or whatever, by going for it on fourth down twice. The first one I can maybe buy an argument for. The second one late in the fourth quarter made zero sense to go for that fourth down.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's not even so much the debate whether it's like, is aggressiveness like the good thing or not? I mean, Reynolds just dropped the ball in the first. It was the first one, right? Reynolds drops the ball.
True. Yeah.
You know, again, I would have went for the six. I mean, it's so easy to play Monday morning quarterback, but we were texting live when that was going on, and I think most of us in the group chat were like, "Yeah, I'd probably take the points like before the play even happened."
You just take the points, and the second one makes even less sense because you're, you know, down three with like 5 minutes, 5-6 minutes left. I forget exactly how much time there was in the game, and you have a chance to tie the game or let them just basically run out the time. Like,
yeah, I also it's 2 weeks in a row now. I wasn't on the show last week, but 2 weeks in a row now that this fraud quarterback has the defense drop two picks. Twice, 2 weeks in a row. The Green Bay game, that was two pick sixes easy. And now this week they dropped two picks. You know, and those matter. I mean, you know,
yeah,
the game could be totally different.
Yeah, and it's two games in a row that going in, you say, oh, they're the better team on paper. They get dominated in the game, and they still find a way to win both of them.
And look, I think the whole Brock Purdy story is cool. The last guy in the draft. It's like, I think like Reese said it. Like it's the all American story where like the last guy in the draft and these two straight championship games wasn't supposed to be there kind of thing. So it's a cool story, but I fucking hate the Niners. So I hope they lose by 100.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like he seems like a likable dude and the story's cool, but like if he just played on like 28 other teams, I think he would be fine with it.
I think Dak's a pretty nice guy. I fucking hate him.
Sure, yeah, so. Right. Yeah, sure.
So it's so crazy to think that I actually think I hate the Niners more than the Giants.
More than the Giants.
Yeah, I think they're number two on my list now.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess the Giants really haven't been good, you know, in a handful of years, really since the Manning kind of fell off, the Manning era. But, I guess it makes sense. Especially because, like, the Giants, even when they're good, I don't... they really don't run their mouth the way that the Niners have continued to run their mouth. Right. Especially like the whole crying tour of last season. Like every player was, you know, salty that, you know, they were all under their like fourth quarterback or whatever it was. Like, it's just, it's the way the players have handled themselves, and they're just such an unlikable group. Like, even you take a guy like Christian McCaffrey, who I think was a pretty likable guy in Carolina. Like,
I used to love him.
Right, and now it's like every time he touches the ball, I'm like hoping he breaks his neck. That's probably like an awful thing for me to say, but it's like it's a truth. Yeah. I'm like, it's so bad. It's just an unlikable group of people.
Yeah, I know. He's the best running back in the league. It's
sure, yeah. Know. And he's the entire team. If they don't have Christian McCaffrey, they probably don't have the bye. They probably lose in the wild card round. Like, he's their whole entire team. That, like, you can't convince me that anybody else is more valuable to their team than Christian McCaffrey.
I'm not going to disagree with you. I'm not going to say he's going. This was an argument we had weeks and weeks and weeks ago.
It was, yep.
It's not that I don't think he's not the most valuable to his team. It's not that I don't think he shouldn't win the MVP. I just don't think they give it to him.
I agree.
That was my argument.
I agree. I don't think they'll give it to him, but I still think he's the most valuable player in the league.
You're probably not wrong.
Yeah.
I think in my list, I would probably have Josh Allen number one, McCaffrey number two, and Lamar number three.
Okay.
And I can't stand Lamar. Like, I'm just not a fan of his game. I think he's fun to watch in the regular season. I think he's a flashy guy. I think he puts up the stats, but when it matters most, and Josh Allen's kind of getting like that with me too, where like when it at least Josh Allen like wins playoff games. I think Lamar's only won like two in his career, but like,
is it even two?
Yeah, I think he was 1-3 going into this year, and then they won.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think he has won one before this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
but loses at home, like you know what I mean? Like you know, aside from Josh Allen losing to Patrick Mahomes, he hasn't done that. But again, like Allen's kind of starting to get like that a little bit with me. Where like,
well, Allen's the turnovers is kind of the thing that kills him. Like, he just tries to force the ball too often.
Version of Wentz, yeah, like a more consistent, better version of Carson Wentz.
Right. Yeah. Really. Yeah.
But. Yeah, I don't know. Taking my Brock Purdy hate outside of it, and this kind of goes with like Lamar and Purdy. I think obviously Lamar's a top 10 quarterback. Like, you know, he's probably sixth or seventh, whatever it is. Where would you rank, honestly, where would you rank Purdy in the top 32?
I mean, I have to go through it. You know what? Let's pull up each team. Hold on.
Yeah.
Because I did, like, this is one thing that I have heard today. People are saying, you know, is he a good quarterback? And like, what do you constitute as good? In order for him to be a good quarterback, does he have to be top 10? Because if he gets to top 15, then at that point, you're a middle of the road.
You're mediocre
quarterback.
Right.
You're mediocre, right?
I don't know where I have. I mean, I don't know if I have him top 10. But I think I probably would have him top 15. And I think if you take Purdy off of the Niners and you put him on like 29 other teams, I think you never hear of him.
All right, so let's go team by team here.
Okay.
All right, Bills, Josh Allen, obviously put Josh Allen over him. Tua.
Value though? Like what are we valuing here? Are we doing like, because Purdy
he wins more games.
He wins more games, but like, is Tua just?
But that's part of the team.
Better,
like,
right. But is Tua just an all around better quarterback? I don't know. Like,
I think it's close. I think it's really close.
I think it's close. Let's come back to that one.
All right, let's come back to that one. Jets. I guess we'll give it to Rodgers, right? I mean, Rodgers is better, right? Or do we not even count Rodgers right now because we haven't seen him playing?
No, I would still count Rodgers. I think.
All right, okay, Rodgers.
Right. Yeah, we'll go Rodgers.
Mac Jones, give me Purdy. Mahomes, obviously. The Raiders. Who's their quarterback this year? Is it Carr? Derek Carr?
Yeah, he's in New Orleans.
New Orleans, that's right. Who the hell played for the Raiders this year?
Garoppolo, but it was like, he was like in and out. But we'll go Garoppolo. I think Purdy's better than Garoppolo.
Yeah, I think Purdy's better too. Let's go. All right, Broncos, Russell Wilson.
I think this year Purdy's better. So I mean, and Wilson played well at the second, halfway through the year,
they benched him late in the season.
But I think if you're going to compare the last 2 years, I take Purdy.
Okay, so far we've found two guys better. Herbert.
I think again that goes to that question with Tua. I think Herbert is a better,
got more talent,
right? But
yeah,
he hasn't really done anything with it. So I would still go Herbert though. I think Herbert's
too.
Top 10.
I would go Herbert too. Lamar, we give it to Lamar, right?
Yep.
The Browns, I mean, who do you even say is the Browns quarterback?
Deshaun.
Right,
Deshaun,
yeah. Deshaun Watson. I mean, okay. I might take Purdy, to be honest with you.
No, I think I'd still go Watson.
Do you? All right.
I don't know the Watson's top 10, but he's very, very close to the top 10.
Okay.
Like Purdy. He's kind of in that conversation with Tua and
all right,
you know,
so I'll count him. That's five. The Steelers, who was their quarterback? Pickett?
Yeah, he's nice.
Give him Purdy. And then the Bengals, we got Joe Burrow. So
yep.
that's one. We could definitely give it to Burrow. CJ Stroud, I'd take over him.
I would take Stroud.
Trevor Lawrence. I think I would take Lawrence.
I think I would take Trevor.
I think you put Lawrence on, and that, maybe that's how we have to rephrase this question, is like, I think if you put Lawrence on the Niners, I think he does better than Purdy. I think
right.
He's a better quarterback than Purdy.
I think there are only five, maybe four or five quarterbacks that you put on any team. They have a chance to really, you know.
Sure.
You know, so.
The Colts, who's
somebody Anthony didn't Richardson? Like my Deshaun Watson comment, but go off. Go ahead. What'd you say?
No, that's fine. Yeah, I mean, I'm not there with Deshaun Watson either. I don't think he's that great. Like, I think
Deshaun Watson's a way more talented. He's a way more talented.
He's got more talent, sure, yeah. But you know, yeah.
Right, but if you put, so let's use the argument. You put Deshaun Watson on San Fran. Are they good?
They're good. Yeah, they're probably better with Deshaun.
You put Purdy on Cleveland. Is Cleveland good?
I don't know.
No.
Because like, well, I mean, Flacco's not great. Flacco's 100 years old,
but he played really, really, really well.
He did play really, really well, but maybe a Purdy plays really, really well in that specific
scheme. I'm not. This is all hypothetical. This is
sure.
It's you know.
Yep.
So I don't think that if you put, like I said, if you put Purdy on 29 other teams, I don't think you ever hear of him.
He might be like a Mac Jones kind of guy.
No, I think he's where I honestly don't think he even gets a chance.
Okay.
He only got a chance in San Francisco because
two guys went down.
Right.
Sure.
You may not even hear of him if Garoppolo plays okay. Like,
all right, he's their backup, or even like he's the last pick of the draft, might get cut. Like,
yeah, right, right.
The Colts. So who are we going with? Anthony Richardson or?
I go Purdy.
Yeah.
So far, yeah. We haven't seen enough of Richardson.
Right, I agree. The Titans. So who?
Will Lutz, I get, or
Will Levis,
whatever his name is, Levis, Lutz, whatever, Levis. Levis. No, I go Purdy.
I'm Purdy as well. Dak? Go Dak.
I go Dak, yeah.
Hurts? I still go Hurts.
Hurts.
The Giants? Give me Purdy over whoever the fuck they throw.
Yeah, I agree.
The Commanders?
Purdy.
Agreed.
Even though Hal played pretty well this year. Like as well as you could probably imagine him to.
Yep. Stafford? I think I lean Stafford.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think
because I think like we've said earlier in the show, Purdy didn't have to play he played like shit against most for 95% of that game against Green Bay, and they still found a way to win. Like, I think Stafford is the reason the Rams, you know, win.
Right, Geno
or a
Smith.
Big reason.
Geno Smith.
And I go Purdy.
Okay, Kyler Murray.
Purdy.
Really. You're not a big Kyler Murray guy, huh?
Nah.
I just think the team stinks. Like, I don't think Kyler Murray's good, but I don't know if we've seen Kyler Murray get a fair shot with like a good team.
Right, but that goes into it. Like,
sure, no, totally. Jared Goff.
This is where it gets tough. Like, I think Jared Goff might be the best version.
He's been great this year, Goff.
I think he's the, I'm not even going to call him a game manager, but like, I think he's the best of the middle of the pack.
Sure.
I think I would go Goff over it because I think San Fran, well. I think San Fran rolls with Goff.
Right. Jordan Love.
So far, the last 2 years, listen, Love looked really good halfway through the year.
Yep.
Two full seasons, I think I go Purdy.
Okay.
Honestly.
Kirk.
I go Purdy.
Justin Fields.
Purdy.
The Baker Mayfield.
Purdy.
Derek Carr.
Purdy. These are all like the guys that are between like 13 and 20.
Okay. The Falcons, who Ritter, let's go
Ritter?
Purdy. Yeah, we'll go Purdy.
Whoever they have.
All right, and then Bryce Young.
Yeah, Purdy.
Okay, so now circle back to the Dolphins with Tua.
I think I'm gonna go right as of today. I think I'll go Tua, but I don't know if it's like
okay,
that.
So based off what we did, if you have Tua there, that would mean that there are 13 quarterbacks better in your eyes.
But that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I think he's somewhere between 10 and 15, honestly, Purdy.
Yeah.
Like, I think he's somewhere between 10 and 15, whether that's 10, 11, 12, 13, or 14. Or 10, 11, 12, or 13, 14, 15, whatever.
Yeah, like what constitutes good? Like, is it top 10? Is it top 12? Because as soon as you get to, like, 13, maybe 14, 15, 16, you're just an average quarterback. You're middle of the pack.
Like, I always say, like, Kirk Cousins is, like, the 15th best quarterback in the league.
Sure.
Like,
and a guy that's 15th or 14th in Purdy's case is good enough to win a Super Bowl.
Right.
It's just he's not going to win a Super Bowl because of him, I don't think. But then again, I don't think anybody thought the Eagles were going to win a Super Bowl because of Nick Foles, and Nick Foles was fucking Superman. So, like, does Purdy have that in him? I guess. But, like, Foles wasn't great. Like, he was an average NFL quarterback.
No, he's a backup quarterback.
Before he got to the Eagles, before that run, like he was gonna quit. Like he was done football.
Yeah, I think that was just lightning in a bottle. I don't. Sure, never totally. Seen anything like that. Two games in a row.
Right.
But yeah, I was just curious where you saw Purdy.
Yeah, somewhere in that. I think we had a 13, 14, 15 range probably.
Yeah. Like, I think he's better than Cousins, but I don't know that he's better than Goff. I think he might be a little bit better than Jordan Love, but, like, I don't think he's... I think Tua is just a smidge better right now.
Right. But,
I think if you put Purdy on, like, this... The Eagles team, I think if you put him on maybe, like... I don't know. Guess what? If you switched him and Mahomes, I don't know if Kansas City's that good, are they?
No, definitely not. No.
Like, what about the
receivers
Buffalo?
Stick. Buffalo, no.
What about Miami?
See, that this is the
See,
thing
that's,
where
that's right, yeah. right. That's what I'm sitting here like is
about
he
better
than
him into
like,
it. Yeah.
Yeah, right. They're so
Miami
close.
Miami might be the same.
Or better.
Or better. It's
like
it's
I don't
close.
Think they get worse.
No.
Yeah, Tua and Purdy are a hard one.
Yeah,
I if you have one at 13 and one at 12, I don't, you know, I wouldn't argue with you.
Yeah. Yeah, so according to us, our study, he's the 14th best quarterback.
Yeah.
There you go. Do with that what you will.
It's facts. Hashtag facts.
Right, exactly. And we'll do a whole prediction show next week about the Super Bowl. I don't know that I'm going to watch, to be honest. I have zero interest
really?
In this. I have zero interest in the Super Bowl.
None. I'm not saying this is you, but I've been seeing it all over for the past week and week ever since Kansas City advanced last week. But, like, I don't feel the hate towards Kansas City.
I don't feel the hate. I'm just so tired of them. I'm just like, go away. Stop.
But go away.
And you're not still bitter from last year. Yeah, but you're not still bitter from last year. They beat your team last year in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but they beat them like that. That's, you know what I mean. Like,
sure.
It's not their fault that they threw a flag. Like, we should be mad at the officiating.
Sure. No, I understand. But like,
well, I'm not saying you're saying it. I'm just saying like that's what I'm seeing all over.
You just watched them. Celebrated championship 1 year ago. Like, you really want to watch that again?
I'd rather see Kansas City win than San Francisco.
I agree.
But I also like seeing greatness win. I think Travis Kelce's the greatest tight end ever. I think
you
Patrick
think
Mahomes.
So. You put him above. Yeah. You put him above Gronk. Huh?
I do. I think Gronk is number two. But we had this argument.
Yeah,
like a month or two ago. Yeah. Like, I think that Mahomes is the most talented quarterback we've ever seen. I think he's on pace to he could very, and I think it's still Brady, but I think Mahomes could very well one day be the best ever.
Sure, that means early.
He's trending that way. He's in four Super Bowls in the last 6 years.
And he's won.
And what, he's got no and like,
how many has he won? Two or three so far?
He's got two.
He's got two.
Yeah. So I don't know. I want to watch greatness. I'm so tired of him. Yeah, I don't know.
I used to be a big Mahomes guy, but he's gotten so unlikable so quick.
Yeah, but every big player, every big superstar does that. Brady, LeBron. I know you hate LeBron, but like, but still, like, yeah, even Jordan had an ego. Like,
to be honest with you,
right?
Like, I never really hated Brady. Like, obviously, shit was annoying.
Tiger,
was,
like you,
sure, yeah, but I never really hated Tiger either. Like, he was watching greatness at that point,
right? But they're doing the same thing that Mahomes is doing.
It's the constant crying. It's
the
constant crying for me. Like,
but they all cry. Is what I'm saying.
And that's why I hate most of them.
You just said you don't hate Brady or Tiger. Do you hate Jordan?
I didn't really watch him. Like, when was Jordan out of the league? 94, 5?
No.
6?
03?
Not even? Was it that late?
He came back. Yeah. Okay.
Prime Jordan, I didn't really watch. Like, it was
Look at his last like year in the league. He was
Fair enough. Okay. I'm also not a big basketball guy, as you know.
Yeah.
No, so, like, it's just, yeah. But, like, it's just a constant crying. It's why in the first, I'll bring it to hockey. It's why the first 5, 6, 7 years of Crosby's career, I fucking hated him. Like, one, he was a rival. But, like, two, it was a constant crying and bitching and moaning. And then he stopped doing that and just started to play and be a tough motherfucker. And I started to respect.
And he didn't win anything.
I started to respect. Sure, he won in, like, 2000.
But what I'm, No. What I'm saying is, yeah, but that's when he was still crying.
No.
Yeah.
I disagree.
100%. Okay. All right.
Disagree.
I'm not sitting here trying to convince you to like Mahomes. I'm just telling you why I'd want to see the Chiefs win.
Especially the way that he reacted this season with the Buffalo game.
Okay. That's fair. Like, that's fine.
Yeah. It's just play football.
I'm not here to convince you. I'm just here to tell you why I want to see Kansas City win.
And right. And listen, I would take Kansas City over the Niners, like, definitely. But I have zero rooting interest in the game. I don't want to watch. Like, maybe I'll turn it on, you know, the Super Bowl day comes, whatever. I have zero interest in watching it. And then they're going to give us Usher for the halftime show. Why do I give a shit about this game at all?
That's a bad one.
It's terrible. It's awful.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think there's something special about, because, like, that's the thing is, like, we ask older people about Jordan. Oh, what was it like watching Jordan in his prime? Well, you know.
Uh-oh. We have some technical difficulties. Now I'm just by myself. Dom, are you there? Dom. All right. We'll get you're frozen. I don't know if you can hear me, but you froze on me. Really?
I was talking. I heard myself
now,
fine.
Now your audio is all out of whack. Refresh your browser there, and then we'll bring Dom back in. I'm like I said to Dom, I'm just so tired of the Chiefs. I have zero rooting interest in the Super Bowl. None. And we'll try to get Dom in here, but it just, I don't know. Hold on, let's get Dom. Where's he at? Come on, Dom. All right, Dom, you're back.
I don't know what happened there. I was fine on my end. We were both frozen, but I was able to talk. I don't know.
It was weird.
So I don't know what you heard last, but I just think there's something special about when we ask older generations, like, what was it like watching Michael in his prime, Muhammad Ali? Yeah. I think that one day when our kids are old enough to say, what was it like watching Patrick Mahomes during, you know, Tom Brady during his, you know, run, like I think this is something special.
Totally. I agree with that. But and I also still another, not want it to happen at the same time.
I understand. I also think that you don't feel necessarily that way with Brady as much because Brady didn't just, there was a 10-year period Brady didn't make a Super Bowl.
Yeah, but you look at the total wins and
right, but So Mahomes is in four of the last six Super Bowls. Brady,
you're saying, know, I didn't feel that way about Brady. Like, in what way? What way did I feel about him?
I'm saying maybe, maybe you don't feel as much hatred towards Brady because he did it so early in his career, and then late in his career, where in the middle, he lost two and then didn't go to one for like 10 years.
Yeah.
So maybe that's,
and listen,
that's
Brady at one point was still hateable with the, you know, the Deflategate thing,
sure,
and the cheating scandals, and like there's a reason to hate Brady, but like.
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like the Mahomes thing, it's like we're watching, like we asked about Jordan, we asked about Babe Ruth, we asked about Muhammad Ali, we asked about Ted Williams, like Willie Mays, and like, you know, Wayne Gretzky, like we ask about these players, and now we finally have one, and I want to see this guy win as much as possible unless it's against my team.
You're not one of the guys that are like, and because I don't think I am, but like that are annoyed to watch Andy Reid basically build this dynasty.
No, because I think Mahomes plays a big factor in that. Like, if Mahomes isn't in there, like I think they work so well together. All right, let's take it back to like Brady and Belichick. Like, I think Brady needed Belichick, but we've obviously seen it where there came a point where Brady didn't need Belichick anymore, and Brady the second half of Brady, even with the Patriots, I think could have won with anybody. Sure. I think early on they were just a perfect match, and just like Mahomes and Andy, I think we're a perfect match. Even though if Mahomes went somewhere else, I don't know if Mahomes is still Mahomes. I think he's still a great quarterback, top five, top ten, whatever. I think going to Andy has made him the guy that he is.
Sure,
but I think if Mahomes is at a point now where no matter who he's with or where he goes, I think he figured it out, and I think he's, you know. So no, I just like I if take
it doesn't take it doesn't bother you that, that in, it doesn't bother you that in like 14 years or however long Andy Reid was here, that like he didn't get it done. He wasn't able to get, he only got the big game once and lost and came up short, and now he's won multiple with Kansas City.
No, because we won.
Okay.
And like I said, I think Mahomes, If he would have drafted Mahomes in 2000 or 99, whatever it was, okay, and we never won, maybe I'd feel that way. I don't know. Maybe it is because we won a Super Bowl before him. I don't know.
Yeah.
I would love 10, but like...
right.
You know, he's only got two, so... It's not like he's, you know, 6 for 6 or whatever.
Sure, yeah. But there's a strong argument he's like the second or third best coach of all time.
He might be number one. At this point.
How many years does he have left, I guess? Like, again, Brady won, what, 7, 6?
Brady's got...
Belichick, sorry, is what I meant.
Belichick has...
6, because I think Brady has 7 and has won without him, right?
Something like that. What's Brady been to, 11?
I think Brady has 7.
But he's been to 11, right? Or
10? 10 or 11, yeah.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know.
So, yeah, it was also... Yeah, he might be the greatest ever.
He's definitely top three. I don't know. I just don't feel that way. I don't know.
Because I have seen that a lot. Because like that, there's still some of that out there.
I think we're so far past it though at this point. For me,
yeah. Yeah, what year did he leave? Like, was it with
2013? 2013 was Chip Kelly's first year. So 2012 was his last.
Yeah. Okay.
And it was just kind of over.
You're 12 years ago. Like,
yeah. I was in high school. Like,
right. Yeah. Kind of crazy to think that it's been 12 years that he's been gone. That's kind of nuts.
If you would have asked me after the Eagles, after he was, you know, left here and went to Kansas City, those first few years, if you would have told me he would have lasted 12 years, I don't know if I would have.
Right.
I would have agreed with that, or not agreed with it, but I don't know if I would have been like, oh yeah, he's definitely gonna last 12 years. But hey,
well, at that point, you don't know that he's gonna, you know, draft Patrick Mahomes.
That's what I mean. Like, yeah. Right.
Because if he drafts, you know, I don't know, name a mediocre
Mac Jones,
starting quarterback. You're right. Yeah. The next Alex Smith or whatever. Like, he might last 3-4 years. Like, I don't think he's going to be able to last as long as he did. But I mean, we'll have the Super Bowl preview next week. I know last year we did like a whole prop sheet. Maybe we'll do that again.
Oh, yeah. We should do that. Yeah. Do that again.
So, We'll get to that. Before we move on, I did have the totals. Did I have the totals? Hold on. I think I have the totals of our against the spread picks. Not, it's not looking good for Chris, I'll be honest. So
I think, did I cover both?
Last week, yeah, you covered both, and you got the you also got the over in the Lions Niners game, and then you lost the over in the Chiefs Ravens game. My dumbass actually didn't update it. So going into the conference week, you were 43-44, I was 42-45, and Chris was 36-51. And then this week you went 3-1, I went 2-2, and Chris went also went 2-2. So you're two games above me at this point.
Okay.
For the lead.
So we could theoretically tie if.
Well, we could do anything because like last year we counted the 20 question prop sheet that we had.
Oh, true.
Remember? Yeah. So. Okay. It's anybody's game at this point. Like me and you could just do terrible, and Chris can make an epic comeback. We'll see what happens. Who won last year? Was it me?
I don't remember.
You? I forget. We'll have to go back and listen. All right. So where do you want to take this? What else do you want to talk about tonight?
Do you want to wait till next week to talk about the coaching hires?
If you want. Yeah. Do you want to do that now or next week? I figure
it's up to you.
We'll let Chris talk about it next week. I know Chris is a big.
Yeah.
Chris has some thoughts. So
yeah.
The one thing that happened last week during the show, so you were, I forget what you were doing, but it's not important. The, were you watching, were you keeping tabs of the Embiid 70 game?
Yes.
That was happening during, was happening during the show.
Right.
I mean, epic performance. Like, obviously Makers didn't really get to watch it because we were doing this, but like, how dominant was it watching?
So that same night, Karl Anthony Towns put up, I think, 63.
Wow, did he really?
Or something like that, yeah. But reading Twitter, basically everybody was saying, like, it was very much, once he hit 50, it was, like, forced, where Embiid was the total opposite. He just could not miss.
Yeah.
And at one point, they kind of just were like, here, every possession is just his. It was incredible. It was so much fun to watch. He's easily the best player in the league. It's not even, it's really not close, in my opinion. But yeah, man, it was a lot of fun. It was like he reached that, I think his career high is 59.
Oh, we said it last year. So I don't remember like exactly. It was in the 50s. Mark. Yeah.
I believe it's 59. So he hits that like 57, 58 mark, and it's like, I don't know, maybe like 6 minutes, 5 minutes in the third quarter. In the third quarter, he's at like 57, right. 58. Yeah. And it's like, all right, well, let's see if, can he hit 60 before the fourth? I think he does hit 60 before the fourth, comes out in the fourth, and just, you know, drops the 70. But like even late in the game, it was like, not late in the game, but like that end of that third quarter was like he was dishing the ball. Like it was just anything to win the game. It wasn't so much I'm gonna take until 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter, they just said here. But like there was like 4:07 left. He had 58 or whatever it was. And dude, he's just like, he got like two assists. Like he was looking for the open guy, anything to win the game. So it was really fun to watch.
Yeah, there was a stat, I forget exactly the stat, I said it last week, but like there's only been two players in the history of the game to have like, I think over, was it 60 or over 70 points, 15 assists and 5 rebounds. It's like
Tim and Michael Jordan. Or Michael Jordan, yeah. Yeah, and then because he came up and said, or his post-game interview, they told him that, and he said, Wilt's never done it, and they were like, no, and he's like, I'm sure he's done it, like they just don't have it listed, you know, in the record books or whatever, like. But
yeah, so Don from Jungle Broad writes, the Nerds finally win with the minimum game requirement for the NBA. Yeah. What are your thoughts on this?
I'm very torn.
I am too.
I think I'm gonna go back a couple minutes to what we were just talking about. Day when our kids ask us, you know, these crazy things, like one day my kid's going to come up to me and say, Dad, how the hell did Joel Embiid not win the MVP, averaging possibly 37, averaging 12 or 10 rebounds, whatever it is, having maybe arguably the greatest single season in the history of the league.
I was about to say, it might be the greatest season you or me ever see. from anybody.
You could argue it's the best that's ever been done.
Yeah. Yep.
Not even just in our lifetime, just ever been done.
Yep.
When it's all said and finished. I understand why they do it.
Well, the athletes did it to themselves because they just all want to sit out.
But here's the thing.
What's the requirement? 60 or 65? 65.
So, but here's the thing.
That number's probably too high.
I was going to say that. I think it should be somewhere between, I think it should be 60-ish.
Yeah.
I think 60 is probably the mark. But here's the thing, though. What other MVP caliber player
only plays 50 games?
Right.
Yeah.
Jokic doesn't. Jokic plays more.
No.
Giannis plays more. Kawhi Leonard is not an MVP guy. He's the one that always sits out.
But he was at one point.
No.
I don't think he's ever won, but he was that caliber where he could have. No?
Nah. Not a single season, no. He was a great player. He's not as good as you think he probably was.
Probably. Yeah.
But he served a role in his team. Hall of Famer, love Kawhi. But he's not a guy that averages 30 in a season. Yeah. He's never done that. So I bet you he's never done more than 25 3 times.
Right.
If I had to guess.
Yeah.
So
even when LeBron was winning all his MVPs, I think he did a load management thing, but I don't think
he hasn't won an MVP in 10 or 12 years.
Sure, but even then I don't think he was really sitting out.
Right. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. And I'm not sitting here saying it's the league going against Embiid. I just don't I don't know where that makes sense because it's not MVP. I'm saying Kawhi's not an MVP player, but he's a guy that does a lot of that load management. Anthony Davis is not an MVP type player. He's one of those guys that has that load management kind of thing. And he's been better with the Lakers staying on the court. It's a lot easier to stay on the court when you're with a good team rather than when you're in New Orleans, watching your team lose every night. But it's those fringe guys, those fringe MVP players, the guys that are the 10th to the 20th best player that have the load management. I just don't know where, the rest of the MVPs fall in line.
Right. And like you say there is a guy who only plays 50 games, even without the rule, the requirement, chances are he's not getting voted the MVP anyway, because he only played
Embiid
50 games. Right. Right. Exactly.
Two or 3 years ago.
Yeah. It was two years ago. Yep.
You could have argued. Well, no, 2 years ago, I think he should have won. It was 3 years ago. It was fine that Jokic won, but the only reason he won was because Embiid only played 51 games or 60 games.
Yeah, that goes against you anyway. So there's almost an unwritten game requirement.
Right. So. So I see the point of it. I wish it was more 60.
Yeah. Yeah, I get what they were trying to do. And with somebody who hates the whole load management, thing in basketball or even sports in general now. I understand what they were trying to do. I just don't think it was necessary.
I agree. I also think Embiid doesn't give a shit about the MVP this year. I think genuinely.
I hope he doesn't. Really hope he does. He got his MVP. He cared about that last year. I genuinely think he wants to.
I don't know that's all that he cared about, but it was a big thing. It was a big thing.
Sure.
But
totally.
I've been saying this for a few weeks. I think that, He's a father now. He's married now. He is under a coach that's not a player's coach. He's under a coach that is sitting here telling him, I don't care about your MVP. I don't care about, you sit out on a Tuesday night or Sunday night in January when we're a top 3 seed. I think Nick Nurse is a huge reason on why Joel is saying, I don't care about this MVP. If I get it, great. If I don't, the playoffs is what matters. And I think he's 29th, almost 30 years old now. He's at a point in his career where I have to win in the playoffs. I have to win in the playoffs. I have to be the guy in the playoffs. And if it means that I have to sit out on a Sunday night in January and maybe not get the MVP, what's worth more?
Yep. And now he's getting investigated for the other night too.
but that's not his fault.
No, it's not his fault. No.
I think it's more the Sixers' fault than anything.
Sure.
More than his fault, but I don't know.
I thought it was funny.
No, for sure.
But isn't it funny that early in his career, like the first year or two, maybe in the third year, we're talking about who knows how much time he has left. He's got 3 to 5 years. And 8 years later, nine, however long it's been, he's better. He's mountains better than he was then. It's crazy.
Yeah. Basketball is a game that you don't dominate until you're 28, 29. That's just the way it is. It's a lot like starting pitchers in baseball. You have the few guys that Kershaws and Verlanders that were great from the beginning, but it's those Zach Wheelers that come out when they're, you know, the Max Scherzers that come out when they're 28, 29 years old and pitch till they're 40. It's the same thing with NBA players. There's only a handful of guys in the modern era, Magic, Giannis, and like one other guy that has won a championship before they're 28. LeBron didn't win until he was 28. Michael didn't win until he was closer to 28. Like, that's just kind of
you have to learn how to be a winner.
Yeah, you have to learn how to play. You have to learn how to, because the playoffs are it's like hockey or baseball or football. It's just different in the playoffs. You have to adapt to that, and you have to be able to build the team around you. And you know,
I just hope we're not getting sold to like a false bill or whatever. Like I hope come playoffs he's determined to win, and we don't see when things get tough, we don't see him quit, because we've seen it in the past.
Like I think Nick Nurse is a big proponent to that.
I agree.
That was the one thing I wanted the Sixers to do this past offseason, and they did it. So I still think they're one piece away, but could they win with what they have? Maybe, but I would be a lot more comfortable with one more piece.
Do you have anybody in mind?
I mean, I have guys that I would love, but realistically, I think they need either a three. That's a small forward that's a 3-and-D guy, or I think they need, and I'm going to sound crazy, but I think they could go out also the route of a point guard. I think they can go out and get Tyrese off the ball, let him be a catch and shoot guy, because I think he could still average the 26 that he's averaging not handling the ball. I think if you go out and you get a good ball handler, and you let Tyrese play his game, catch and shoot, I think he'll still be effective. So I'd go one of those two routes. I think I actually wouldn't mind the Spencer Dinwiddie trade. I know a lot of people are not into that. I think his numbers go up if he comes here. Who's another guy? DeRozan's like a 2 or 3, but he's not literally like a 3-point shooter. I really want a 3-point shooter. He's a good defender.
You're not into a Zach LaVine. I know you haven't really been.
With the right price, like I would absolutely take him. I don't know that he's not great defensively.
Right.
Ananobi would have been the perfect guy. He could shoot. He'll lock down Tatum. He'll lock down, those number three guys on the other team. The small forward. Ananobi would have been perfect, but you'd have to pay him a lot of money this offseason. So like if you get a Dinwiddie, like you're gonna have to pay him after this year, but he's not gonna be a max player. Like I don't know, what are you gonna give him, like $15 million a year?
Right.
$20 million a year, which is fine. I think, and then, as much as I would love it, I don't think it happens. I would love Paul George, but I don't know that that happens. But
yeah,
we'll see.
We shall see. All right, we can move on. So the one thing I didn't want to talk about today is something that came out last week, and that's this Carter Hart stuff. I mean, takes a leave of absence. We just can't have nice things, can we? So how familiar are you with the story?
The story of the allegations or the story of...
I guess, so what was your first thought when he took a leave of absence?
I mean, that's obvious.
Right.
I thought it was obvious. And that doesn't mean he did anything. It doesn't mean he didn't do anything.
Sure.
I just think that this stuff has to play out in court,
Gonna take a while. Yeah,
it's gonna take a long time. All I know is that they were at an event, in Canada, a golf event. This girl starts talking to one of the players. They're drinking. He invites her upstairs to his room,
to the hotel room. Yep.
Right, and she goes thinking it's just gonna be them two. They go into the hotel room, and I don't know how many. I guess other players come in.
Yeah, to be honest, I don't even know the exact story. I could find it somewhere.
I'm pretty sure that's a couple players come in, they start doing whatever. The allegations are that they start participating under, I guess, under not under her wishes. I don't know how else to put it. And then there was an agent that came out that said his client didn't name his client, but walked in the room, realized what was going on, stood there for about 10 minutes, and then walked out.
Right.
And whether that's Carter Hart or not, I mean, that's still, you know, you still have to understand what's going on. You know, you have to help.
It's such like a tough situation because
right, because you don't know the situation going on.
Right, if you just walk in and it just looks like it's I don't know how it looked. Right, if it didn't look bad, if I don't know, it's without getting too graphic. Like if you know, if it looks consensual, like maybe he doesn't think anything of it, and he's like, I don't want to partake, but. Apparently, he was eating a piece of pizza or something, I think. He walked in with a piece of pizza, hung around for a couple minutes, then left. Like, it's...
Yeah, and then, so I guess the woman filed, and then it got... Something happened in that was, what was that, 2019 or 2018?
So the incident happened in 2018.
And then I guess they kind of... it went away in 2019, and then it came back in 2022?
Yeah, I think they paid her a settlement at first.
Yeah.
In 2019, but then I think London, Ontario police, I think pressed charges or something. I forget exactly how it worked, but they launched an investigation. And their department, like the London police, has handled this in absolutely atrociously and in an awful manner. They've taken extremely long time. There's been no, and listen, it's a big media story, especially up there in Canada. They've done nothing to like inform people of what's going on. No updates.
Right, but they don't have to.
They don't have to, especially
if it's an investigation. And also it is. sexual assault and stuff like that, unless it happens right away, like unless you go and look in that room right away. Like,
sure, when you're investigating something that happened 5 years ago, it's tough. I get
it. It's very, very hard, especially with sexual allegations.
It is, but then you know, allegation or you know, things leak and you know, information gets out there, and they still are silent. And like, we were supposed to get this information. Apparently, it was leaked last in the summer, but they just kept pushing it back. And then you know, the report comes out that you know, five players were told to surrender to London police. So then, five players, including one of obviously Carter Hart, takes leave of absences. So we could all assume they're the five. And then instead of kind of coming out and having a press conference, you know, the next day or the day after that, London police scheduled a press conference for February 5th. They have the information in front of them. They scheduled a press conference for 2 weeks late. Like, what? I don't understand what they're doing. I have no clue.
The only thing is I could think of is. They're still investigating. They're trying to get their, I guess from those five players, they're trying to get as much information from them before they tell you what's going on. Maybe that's a good thing. Like maybe this country sucks, and like the country that we live in just automatically pushes like anything that happens, you're the bad guy, or you're the bad guy, or you're the bad guy. Maybe they're doing their due diligence and actually looking at every single. Maybe this is a good thing. And that's the thing, like, it's happening now, like, and that's whether the answer comes out, whether it's positive or negative for whoever in the situation, at least we're going to get an answer soon. I think that's very important, too.
Well, I don't know about an answer, like, because even when they're charged, like, you might know the players that are charged and what the charges are, but even when they're charged, there's still, like, a whole trial process.
Well, what I mean is we're getting an answer in the sense of, like, we're starting the process of getting the answer. Like, like we're not going to get an answer in 2 weeks. We might not get an answer for 2 years. But at least this process is starting. Like, that's we've that's been waiting thing. For how long?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
2 years.
It's been a while. Yeah. It's been a while. So every time we thought we were close, they just kept pushing it back. And it's been radio silence. But yeah, February
5th. And I genuinely hope whoever is wrong in the situation gets proven wrong. Or not proven wrong, but gets proven
justice is served.
No matter however that justice is served, I hope it, you know, the right thing happens.
Yep. So, what does this mean for the Flyers? Is that a fair transition to make?
I mean, this plays a part. I mean, they play a role in this.
Exactly. So obviously, I mean, I think we kind of expect Carter to kind of miss the season, right? Like the rest of the season.
I would think
he's gone. I would think he's gone. Cause like, depending on his involvement and it sounds pretty serious if, you know, he's having to surrender to London police, but like, he's going to have to go through trial and until there's a final verdict, I don't think he's playing in the NHL.
That's probably fair.
Yeah.
So,
and even if he is found not guilty, like, right or wrong, just being involved in a sexual assault allegation is enough to kind of tarnish your career. And, sure. And like, I mean, Trevor Bauer, they proved Trevor Bauer basically, you know, got set up and he still isn't back in the league. Like just his name being around it, you know, destroyed his career.
I thought more people came out though recently. Like that's why.
I haven't seen any of that. I just know the one incident was proven that she legit set him up.
Yeah, for some reason I thought it was like more allegations came out with.
And there might be allegations, but I don't think he's being charged for anything, right? I could be wrong, because
I think they're still investigating.
Okay, I'd have to look into that.
I could be wrong about that, but I just think they're like two very different situations.
Sure. Yeah. But the Flyers have lost five straight. You know, I think two or three of them came after this.
Right.
News. Erson, who was playing really, really well as the backup or 1B or whatever you want to call him, has really struggled now that he's the number one guy. The pressure of just getting that number one role could kind of, you know, it's a lot easier to play knowing Carter Hart's there.
Yeah.
You know, and now you got to take the realm.
The Flyers not being able to have a number one goalie? Like, yeah, I mean, right, you know, exactly, what would you think, you know?
Yeah. We thought we had a franchise guy. Yeah. Now we got to find one again.
Yeah. What's Briz doing? Ilya Bryzgalov, what's he up to?
He's 50 years old, probably.
he's not probably not that old.
No, nah,
but he's old.
He's probably in his 40s. Yeah. He's in his 40s.
Yeah.
But it is funny. Like, you look at, like, I used to turn funny. Like, it's not really funny, but, like, you think of, like, the cursed Flyers, right? You think about all the things that happened in the handful of years, right? Nolan Patrick, you know, you pick him. He's supposed to fall on his last, supposed to be his next big thing. Doesn't amount to anything. Gets hurt. His career's done. Oscar Lindblom, who's, like, a 30-goal pace guy, gets cancer. You know, the next franchise goalie.
Gets cancer.
I mean, it's the facts. Like, and then the next, you know, the franchise goalie.
Mike Richards and Jeff Carter, the face of the franchise, get traded because they love cocaine and hookers.
Right, exactly. Yeah, Chris Pronger gets hit in the eye, and boom, the playoff.
Dude, Lindros, like, over. I mean, like, you can go back as far as Lindros. Like,
and then now
they get a sweet goal this weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you see that?
Yep, I did. Yeah. Recky. I mean, Recky look good, too.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and then now they're supposed to franchise goalies, you know, getting arrested for sexual assault. Like, it's just a whole list of just, you know, things that add up to the Flyers being cursed.
When it rains, it pours.
Yep. They're cursed.
What's that Kanye song? When it all falls down.
Sing more, Dom. Let's make it a Kanye karaoke. Although he's problematic. I don't know that we could do that.
Yeah, yeah. We just keep talking about problematic people.
Yeah, exactly. But old Kanye hits, though, I'll be honest.
I saw a quote today from him. I guess like TMZ went up to him and like, does your wife have free will? And he turned around and he said, do you work for God or do you work for the devil? I went up to my wife today. I was like, do you work for God or do you work for the devil? She was like, what? I was like, it's a Kanye quote. She's like, stop.
Well, yeah. I don't think either of them pay my salary, so.
Right.
Guess the signed 79 jersey goes back to the line. Yeah, I'd keep it back there until like, at least the trial, you know, gets settled.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I do. I have a Carter Hart jersey.
Okay.
So, you know, I don't know that I could wear that anytime soon. Which is unfortunate.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens with that. But
yep.
And, like, the thing that really sucks about it is, like, everything we thought we knew about Carter Hart, like, he was the last person I expected to be involved in this. Like, he seemed like such a nice, quiet guy. Like, it's just, when I saw it, I was surprised. Like, because obviously you see the roster of that 2018 team, and you're kind of looking through names, and you see Carter Hart, and you're like, I don't really expect it from him.
Yeah.
But I guess you don't really know. Like, in front of the camera, I guess you're different behind it.
Behind closed doors, yeah.
All right. So, could you imagine if, like, because Cale Makar was on that team. Could you imagine if, like, this came out and Cale Makar was one of the names?
I was looking at that roster.
Yeah.
like good how many names. Guys I knew and don't. Yeah. It not as good as I thought.
Yeah.
But there were some, you know.
Kel McCarr is the big, I mean, the big one.
Yeah.
So I think Colorado fans have kind of been a little nervous.
Sure.
You know, because like, imagine he's one of the five. Like,
and dude, even if you're a coach, if you're a trainer, like it's sure. You know, it trickles down. Like, of course, you know. I mean, obviously, fans don't care about a trainer, but like that person and his family are probably like, you know, on their toes too, and they probably had nothing to do with it, but still, it's like they're around, you know.
Right. Yeah. They're. I mean,
they're involved to a certain degree.
They're responsible, but they're not.
Right.
In a kind of weird sense. It's like I guess if you're a trainer or a coach, you're thinking, be like, what can I have done to kind of prevent it, I guess.
Yeah, right.
But we'll see what happens. You got anything else?
I don't think so. Not much going on.
No, there really isn't.
Hopefully. With pitchers and catchers are soon, right?
Within the next 10 days, I think.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think it's next week. I think it's a week after.
Yeah, it's around 10 or 11 days.
We'll start having that discussion soon.
Why haven't they done anything? What's the deal with the Phillies?
let's wait another week. Maybe we'll preview that a little bit.
Me and Chris talked about it last week a little bit. I don't know that.
To be fair, not many teams have done much either.
Yeah. Yep.
So, but I think these next 2-3 weeks it's going to be. You're going to see a lot of guys starting to
I mean, I was talking to Chris last week about it, and I the stat that I ran off is, like, last year around this time, there were 3 of the top 50 free agents still available. As of last week, there was, like, 20-something of the top 50 still available. Like, nobody signed.
Right.
It's crazy. Are they fully signing anyone? Almost now.
I don't know. I genuinely, I have not been
we'll
like.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've been so like pissed off about the Eagles and like so into the Sixers and Flyers that like I don't even want to think about the Phillies. I'm still hurt from October. So like I don't even want to think about that right now.
we'll talk
maybe,
about
maybe
it
in another week.
Yeah, we'll talk about it next week or the week after.
Yeah,
the only thing I'll say is kind of to close it out is you look at what the Dodgers did, right? The Braves didn't really do a whole lot, but they were still 15 games better than you last year. I don't know that running it back with the exact same team is smart.
Well, I don't know that that's what they're doing just yet. If everybody was signing, I think we could say that, but like, there's still really big names like Cody Bellinger, you know.
Give me pitching. There's really not great pitchers left. Like, the pitchers are gone, especially the top 3 or 4 relievers. Like, they're gone.
Lists, if you look at a lot of lists, the Phillies are top 3 rotation in the league.
I mean, that's expecting a bounce back from Nola. That's expecting Wheeler's arm not to fall off because he's getting older.
Right, but you can't expect that not to happen, though.
That's expecting, you know, Christopher Sanchez to actually be legit. That's expecting Taiwan Walker to be solid. Like,
Let's save this for next week. I will agree about the bullpen.
I think that's the questionable part.
I agree because the bullpen guys are going, but that doesn't mean they won't pull off a trade tomorrow or whatever. Sure. Like we didn't like Soto was a really good was one of the top relief pitchers in the AL 2 years ago, and out of nowhere they traded Vierling and Maton for Gregory Soto. Like you know what I mean? Like something will happen. They'll add. It's baseball's tough. It's really really hard to sign these guys because there's no cap and you know, but we'll definitely talk about it. I can't wait to talk about Phillies.
Absolutely. So all right, we're going to get out of here. Look us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And also one of our shows, Beer Batter Sports, has their 100th episode tomorrow night.
Congrats
7
to them.
PM. Yep. So go check that out on their Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube page. We are going to get out of here. We'll see everybody next week. See ya.